Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Today, Lynette and I are welcoming back Pam Parrish. Lynette was able to interview Pam before COVID-19 and our shelter-in-place order here in Georgia, and we are so glad she did. Pam's wisdom is a welcome word of hope in this crazy time of life. Just to remind you, Pam is the founder of Connections Homes, an Atlanta-based organization impacting the lives of young adults who are aging out of the foster care system, homeless, or without a family. She and her husband, Steve, are the parents of 7 young adult daughters. One of their daughters came to them through the gift of birth and 6 through the gift of foster care and adoption. They're also pops and nana to 3 adorable grandchildren. You can find more about Pam at pamparrish.com. Today, let's join in and listen to Lynette and Pam talk about Pam's devotional book, Battle Weary, about prayer and the strength of God.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation today with Pam Parrish and her, one of her favorite writings. It's not our most current. Your most current is
The Gift.
The Gift. Today we're continuing our conversation about Battle Weary Parents, a scripture-based guide for parenting in the trenches. So like you said earlier, like we said the last podcast, this could be for adoptive foster parents or families that are just struggling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Pam, I know, Stephen, you have raised 8 daughters, and 7 of those came through adoption and foster care,
yes,
right?
Yes, they did.
Wow. And then you've got 4 beautiful miracles.
I do. 4 grandbabies.
And they call you what?
Nana. Oh. And they call Steve Pops.
I love
Nana
it.
And Pops.
Oh, I love it. They're just such a great earthly reward, aren't they?
They really are. I can't get enough of them.
No, it's even hard for me to discipline them. Like, yeah, we'll have cake for breakfast. So
I know. My husband bought this pirate chest full of plastic stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got 12 acres. And he designed a treasure hunt around our property with markers. I mean, he went full Goonies.
Oh, Pam, that is great.
For my grandchildren. He's never done anything like that before. You are totally a Pops right now. They had treasure maps and eye patches and the whole 9 yards.
So when my husband hears this, because we've bought a blow up with the balls and all that kind of stuff, I mean, they just love it. But he is all about making a memory because you don't know how long
Absolutely.
You have.
Absolutely.
I love it. Pam, my parents came to know the Lord when I was in kindergarten.
Mm.
Yeah. And I tell people when I share that story that it's like our home was upside down, like in a snow globe, you know, and the Lord just set it back up.
Wow.
And now that my dad is with the Lord, I am so grateful. I am just so grateful. And one of the most apparent changes that took place in our home, and I remember this at 5 years old,
wow,
is that they started praying.
Mm.
And prayer was so important in our home. It was just the 3 of us. But having a mom and dad who prayed over me and a mom who prayed beside me was a huge game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly shaped my heart. It gave me a passion to draw close to Jesus because I wasn't born with that. But just that seeing them live that before me after they had come from such brokenness really helped me understand that the power of the Lord and how prayer moves the hand of God.
Yeah.
Now, another reason why I love Battle Weary is you truly believe in the power of prayer, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. I just think, you know, God knows our heart.
Right.
He knows what's going on. But it's kind of like having your kids, right? You can know your kids need to be fed 3 times a day, right? And you can feed them. But when they come to you and they ask for that special thing, then you really know what's on their heart and you can give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about all the times that your kids, or we talked about grandkids, when my grandkids come and they say, Nana, can I have ice cream for breakfast,
exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely you can. You know, it's not that God doesn't know what's going on, but it's something about lifting our arms to Him, lifting our prayers to Him, and just speaking it out loud before God that draws Him near. And I work things out in prayer.
Yeah.
You know, for me, prayer is very real.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a section of these and thous and quoting scriptures.
Heavens no.
It's very real. Like, God, I need to talk to you about this right now. This is what I'm struggling with. I'm not exactly sure which direction to go. I really want to line up to your will and your word here. So give me discernment or wisdom. And then out of it, just trusting that it's going to come. Like, I don't have a prescription for how God is going to answer my prayers. It might literally come because I turned on a podcast, or I just happened to be watching something on television, or a friend might say, you know, I was reading something the other day, and this is, and I'm like, okay, there's my answer.
Yeah.
That's what I've been searching
right,
for.
Right. Well, I know that you, every devotional in Battleberry ends with a prayer starter.
Yep.
So, which I think is so important, because when we are weary and tired and we are struggling, or where our hearts are broken, mm-hmm. like we are just breathing, it is hard to find that word.
Yep.
But you help jumpstart us mm-hmm. at the end of every devotional with, I think, because I know the book so well, with words that just really are led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever I wrote the prayer starters, it was for that reason that sometimes people have a hard time with prayer because they think it has to be just this big elaborate thing.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's just the simplicity of just praying out what's on your heart. So I wrote the prayer starters so that if you had nothing else to give,
mm-hmm.
but just to say out loud the words that are written on this paper, that's good enough for
that's
God.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's just good enough for God.
That's right. And they really help jumpstart you because, and to me, and again, why I love your writings is that you just really connect on a personal level because you say, I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, been there.
Yeah.
You know, I understand this pain. You even pray for your readers because in the beginning of the book you wrote, in the next 30 days, my prayer is that you find your spark of hope. Because
mm-hmm.
in those times, in those seasons, Pam, I can lose hope. Mm-hmm. You add that there's no darker place in the depths of a broken heart full of fear, regret, doubt, and failure. Yet it's in that very dark place that God meets us and shines his light brightly, mm-hmm. that we get hope.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about it, in the darkest room that mm-hmm. you can possibly imagine,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do is light a match.
That's right.
And you can see the corners
yeah.
of the room. That's what God brings into our dark moments, is he is that spark of hope. And mm-hmm. just this morning, I was driving to work and I was praying. And you know, when God uses me to write these devotionals that people use and that it ministers, I don't take it lightly.
No.
That in your home, in your quiet time, the words that I've written are ministering to your soul, because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit through me.
And you're using so much scripture.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You are completely focused on God's word.
Right. And so this morning on the way to work, I was just praying, and one of the things that I prayed out was just, God, thank you for letting me be a spokesperson for you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. Some of my history is in corporate PR and even artist management. And in those roles, I'm a spokesperson for whoever the artist that I'm managing or the CEO that I was working for, that when I'm speaking on their behalf.
Uh-huh.
And that's what God lets us do.
Yeah.
Because it's not Battle-Weary Parent, the gift, Ready or Not, they're not about me. They're about God's word. And God's word has nothing to do with me, except it's very personal for me when I apply it to my life. But I get to be a spokesperson on his behalf. And it's from that place that I really want whatever it is that I've written to be a blessing to you.
Yeah.
Or to whatever reader it is. And so I do pray for the people that pick up these books and read them, that God would totally transform their lives, that he would meet them where they are, whether it's in a trying to make a decision or in a crisis, or wherever they are, that through his word, not my words, but my words just help to paint a story around his words.
Right.
That through his word, that hearts will be transformed.
Absolutely. And it just restores hope, knowing that the Lord's put community around me that's walked this road.
Absolutely.
And your writing has just helped remind me of that. That trust that he's working all things for our good and
mm-hmm.
for his glory. We all know that, you know, from Romans. We know that he does that. But like you have said earlier, when you really walk that, you're in that pit and the Lord's leading you out of it. Man, the compassion he gives us for others and
absolutely.
The hope that we're able to share with others. And we've said this before, you and I both, but the enemy is such a liar, and he tempts us to doubt the goodness of God. And I totally agree with you that what you shared, that sometimes in our journey as parents of children from hard places, all we need, like you said earlier, is a single spark of hope to help us keep going.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's that I remember I was actually at a conference. I was there on behalf of our church, mm-hmm. looking at a foster and adoptive ministry, and I got lost on the way to my workshop. I could not find my way.
Oh, man.
And I finally walked by this room, and there's a bunch of people in there, and there's this little white-haired lady up there speaking. It was Karen Purvis.
Oh, my goodness.
Dr. Karen Purvis. And I sat down, so I was like, okay, fine. So I sat down in that session, and it totally transformed me. It was the spark of hope that I needed in our family, because we were in crisis, and I didn't know.
What a person for the Lord to merge your life with.
I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't have words for what was going on in our family, and she gave me the words, she gave me the understanding that I needed in that moment, and it was the spark of hope changed everything for us.
She did the same for me. I remember just walking into a breakout she did at CAFA when I first started all this. I'd never heard her before, and I'm thinking, where has this sweet angel been my whole life?
And and why is she living in my house? Because obviously she's living in my house.
Exactly. Well, one of my favorite sections of Battle Weary is when you say, I'm walking with my child on the road to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. Now, you take that straight out of Luke 24. I've never connected parenting, walking with someone in deep in brokenness like that, and yet remaining unseen. Like, it's mm-hmm. not about me. It's about walking with this person through their brokenness, like Jesus did mm-hmm. in Luke 24, and it happens to be my child. Mm-hmm. And you bring out that the Greek word for Emmaus is an earnest longing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's that you know, in that story, like, uh-huh. they're broken.
Oh, yeah.
They're heartbroken.
Their whole life's fallen apart.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything that they thought is gone, right? So here Jesus shows up in that moment that they're just longing for what they had hoped for mm-hmm. to come to pass, but grappling with the fact that it's not going to. And they don't know that the promise, that the answer is walking with them. But he knows he's the answer. But he doesn't. He lets them grieve.
Yeah.
He lets them process.
Yeah.
He lets them ask all the hard questions, say all the hard things.
That is so rich.
And we've lost that ability. And as parents, we tend to think we have to show up with the answer.
Yeah.
I am a recovering fixer.
Oh.
Of all of my kids' problems.
Listen, I hear you.
You bring me a problem, I'm going to give you 5 ways to solve it. Right.
And can you do that in 5 minutes? That
right.
would be great.
So I can go ahead and do whatever else I've got.
Exactly.
But to slow down and let our kids' journeys transpire the way that God would have it transpire without us speaking into it is really probably the hardest part of parenting for me.
Yeah.
That I've learned that just to walk and listen, to be present, mm-hmm. but not to provide the answers.
Mm-hmm.
is the greatest gift of friendship and connection with especially my young adult kids.
Yeah, young adult kids, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, and you talk about walking alongside one in deep pain. I was thinking about this too. This trauma and living with it daily, or living with someone's brokenness, and granted, we all have mm-hmm. that, but I'm talking about these deep levels of trauma. It really changes us, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does. Well, I mean, I think it changes us in good ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more patient.
Oh, yeah.
Than I was before. I mean, literally, I'm just, you know, you can almost drop a bomb on me and I'll take a deep breath and, well, on my good days, right?
Yeah, right.
I'll take a deep breath and take a moment longer to respond. Mm-hmm. I'm much less reactionary than I used to be, and I'm much more prayerful, for sure. Like, I know that I have been deeply and profoundly changed into more of the image of what I think Christ is. When
Amen.
He was here and he was walking alongside those disciples, that
yeah.
that he knew that their story had to be their story, and he couldn't influence that. There's a really beautiful portion of scripture in Luke where Peter has betrayed Jesus.
Yes.
Now, so, you know, if you back up in Peter's story, first of all, Jesus says he recognizes his divinity. Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Then Peter tells him, when Jesus reveals that he's going to die, oh, I'll die with you.
That's right.
Then Peter cuts off the ear of the soldier, right? So Peter's got all this bravado, all this like, oh, I am Peter, hear me roar, right? Well, then they take Jesus away and Peter follows at a distance. And you see him deny Christ three times. And in Luke, after the third time, it says that Jesus turned and looked at him.
Yeah.
And I often think whatever look you imagine was on Jesus' face, that's your image of the Father, whether that's condemnation or anger or whatever. But based on what Jesus did after he rose, I know that look was one of compassion. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, he was seeing Peter not through Peter's failure, but through his future.
Wow.
Because in that moment, even in the moment of betrayal, Jesus knew that Peter's future was more important than his failure. And as parents, especially with kids from hard places, sometimes that's where we have to challenge ourselves, that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And what I'm beholding on my children is how I'm going to see them. So if I'm looking at them through the lenses of their failures all the time, then all I'm beholding of my child is failure. But if I'm looking at them through the lens of a life that Jesus can transform over this marathon of life, then I'm beholding their beauty and their importance and their very intricate design by God to be who he's called them to be. And everything that's going on in this moment is shaping that. Even if it's ugly to me.
Right. Even if it's just a really hard chapter.
Yeah. We all have really hard chapters and they define us.
Yeah.
They define us. And so I just think that whenever I look at the totality of the word and the Jesus that I've come to know through reading the scripture, I see a God who literally does take and make beauty from ashes.
Oh, yes.
That the drug addict that has recovered is the best one to minister to the drug addict.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who's had the abortion and God has redeemed her life and redeemed that story can go into the pregnancy resource center and sit with a 16-year-old who's struggling with this hard decision. So all of these things, all these brokenness in our lives, God takes and makes them beautiful if we let them. And I think my role as a parent of kids who have come from broken lives, are going through broken places, is to remain in prayer and constantly keep them covered, that whatever evil may come near their dwelling, that it's cast out, mm-hmm. that only what God would have them go through to be used as a vessel in his kingdom, that they would go through, and that they would go through those waters in safety and peace with him. Realizing that I can't stop them from going through the choppy waters,
yeah.
but I can cover them in the moment.
That's absolutely right. You know, you talked about, and we hear Jason Johnson say this, and so many of us share this, and I teach it, that we're broken people leading broken people.
Absolutely.
You know, and that levels the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, and it puts a whole new light on it. And I truly believe, I've said this so many times, and probably shared it here one time too many, but our greatest kingdom impact comes from our deepest pain.
Yeah.
That the Lord has taught us so much, you know, in that we couldn't have learned from a book.
Mm-mm.
Or we couldn't have learned from a weekend retreat, or, you know, we just had to walk through that to learn it. And the Lord allowed us to as a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's not a thing that I can think of that I do today that I don't do out of my own brokenness, my own childhood.
Oh, that's like, good.
Things that happened to me way back when that God is using even today. And every one of us do that. Every one of us go back to those broken things in our lives. And because we understand that brokenness, we're able to reach out and to help others in those ways. God uses it all. Nothing goes to waste.
Nothing goes to waste. Absolutely. Jesus walks us alongside, like you said, on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his friend, patiently listening, never correcting them, never belittling them for their grief. And as you share, he simply notices them and makes room for their story.
Yeah. And that's the
man, what the heart
that's
what,
the heart of God.
Yeah, the heart
he makes
of God.
He makes room for our story. And when I'm crying out to him in these deep places that I write about in Battle Weary, never once, I mean, occasionally the Holy Spirit would correct an understanding. Like, who told you you get to write her story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the one that's writing her story. But it was never, you're wrong for feeling this way, or how dare you ask me those questions, or the Holy Spirit is a gentle teacher and a gentle guide, and God will get you there. It may not happen tomorrow. You may have to breathe through weeks and months and of excruciating moments, but God is faithful, and He will use whatever it is that you're going through. He will use it in your story, and He will use it in your children's stories.
Oh, and He never forsakes us nor leaves us.
Nope.
Even when the feeling is not there, even when we can't get the emotions in line, like things that battle weary, you know, ready or not, the gift do for us, reading through God's Word every year like you do and my husband and I love to do, it just keeps you moving forward and doing the right thing, even when you don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes say, God, I just help me do the next right thing.
Yeah, give me the want to.
I can't think of 10 things ahead. I just have to,
right.
What's the next right thing? And sometimes it was just go to the movies with that particular kid.
Oh, connect.
Yeah, just connect.
Connecting's huge.
You don't have to address everything right now. Sometimes you just let it go and be.
Yeah, because it reminds you of how you fell so in love with them in the first place,
mm-hmm.
that fun part of them, or that part of them that wasn't overtaken when the trauma memories came back and
mm-hmm.
overflooded their little minds and emotions, you know. It shows you that fun side of them. That is so important. I don't know that we talk about that enough, but to take that time to connect and be fun.
Yeah, and the emotional connection is really, I just heard one of my friends say, I was just with a bunch of speakers in Seattle, that we all talk about trauma all the time, and one of them said the parents who have the strongest emotional connection to their kids also have the greatest tolerance for behaviors. So if you're finding yourself like really short with your kid, that's often an indicator that your emotional connection to them is off. And that is the number one time that you need to just let everything go and work on that emotional connection. You know, kind of like you have to do in marriage sometimes.
Yeah.
You have to remind yourself, why did I fall in love with this person to begin with?
Right.
You know, go back to the simple things, whether it's playing a board game or taking a walk or just laughing and having fun, to build that emotional connection, because it's out of that your tolerance for the road ahead and whatever is hard is grown.
Yeah, that's a great point. I love that. Well, walking alongside vulnerable children will take us to depths of grief and pain we could have never imagined. But the journey, like you said, also brings deep celebration. And man, what a vivid picture of the gospel.
Absolutely. There's nothing. I knew Jesus for a long time before I became an adoptive parent, but I feel like parenting kids who've come from hard places has helped me to really know Jesus.
To get it, yeah.
To really get
the
depths of where He has to step into our story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we do that, we're embracing their brokenness, you know, and pain, and then the Lord's painting this beautiful canvas of redemption in me as well.
Yep, absolutely. First of all, in me.
Yeah, that's right. First of all, me. Well, Pam, your transparency, your prayers, your teaching of God's Word, they just strengthen us, and I'm so grateful for it, to just keep moving forward. And you and I now are both into the young adult season with our kids,
mm-hmm.
but I just want us to continue, and that's why I just love being with you, to be a blessing to those who are coming behind us.
Yeah.
Because there's still so much work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who said that when they're 18, it gets easier.
Oh, they lied.
But whoever said that was wrong, because it gets so much harder. The consequences are bigger.
That's right.
And
they're big life decisions.
They're major life decisions. And they are adults. And I think you realize just how vulnerable you are to not being the one that calls the shots.
Yeah.
When they're young adults. And it's just harder. It's a different kind of prayer. It's a different kind of relationship. The consequences are bigger.
Well,
so you worry more.
Oh, you do. Yeah, it really keeps you in prayer. Well, between us, you have 8, I have 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have 14 children between us. That's a little scary.
That is scary.
In saying that, for all the tough seasons we've been through, and I know you would agree because I've read your books, but man, I wouldn't miss 1 minute knowing these wonderful people the Lord's brought in our life that we get to parent, that we get to know, that we get to call our children, because God moved the world to make us a family.
I agree. I totally 100% agree with that. And I was saying to somebody the other day that when I look back on it, I wouldn't change a thing about my children. I wouldn't change a thing about the stuff that we went through with our children.
Wow.
If I could go back and change anybody, it would be me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I wouldn't change the circumstances at all. Wow. I would change my heart.
Well, that's a prime example of why I want everyone listening today to stop. Just stop and take a minute and give yourself a gift. Give your parenting heart a gift and order Battle Weary. Order Ready or Not. Order the gift. Is it ready?
On Amazon.
It's on Amazon. That's where I do it. But Battle Weary and all those other resources, and even your blog is so good, Pam. It will truly minister to your deepest concerns and fears. Because sometimes we're just private with those fears. We don't want to air them out there, right? And it will point you, listen, trust me, because it did for me, to truth and hope in the living Jesus. It really will. And just a reminder, like I said, Pam blogs about foster care and adoption at pamparish.com and about Connections Homes.
That's right.
So you're just a wealth of information. But thanks again for joining us, for being with us, and for encouraging us today, and just sharing the things that God's laid on your heart with the world. We are so grateful.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my honor.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.